Thank you for downloading the Pawneeville Ranch podcast, brought to you by the staff of the Pawneeville Ranch.
Welcome to the Pawneeville Ranch podcast. I'm Erin Brown, Pawneeville Ranch curator.
And I'm Anna Davis, Pawneeville Ranch historical interpreter.
Well, Anna, it's no secret that one of our favorite parts of working at the ranch is dealing with people who knew Pawneeville and May when they lived here. Getting to talk to these people is almost like watching history come alive. But sadly, as time goes by, actually meeting these people is becoming a rarity. But something equally as impressive is when we get to read documents that are in Pawneeville and May's own words. So this winter, we had the opportunity to kind of do some research, and we reached out to archives around the United States, and we came across some documents that we thought would make really interesting subjects for our podcast.
Right. And one of those institutions that housed a piece of Pawneeville history is the University of Wyoming. Their collection covers a wide array of subjects from the American West. They have the personal papers of Owen Wister, who was the author of The Virginian. They have papers from Wyoming's first female governor, Nellie Tylo Ross. And they also have some personal papers of Buffalo Bill Cody. But there was one collection in particular that caught our eye when we were looking through their finding aids. And that was because it actually contained a set of letters that shed some light on a remarkable piece of Pawneeville history. And it's all told from the perspective of a 24-year-old May Lilly.
This collection we refer to as the Ostendorf Collection, and it contains a lot of really wonderful items. We got really excited when we talked to the University of Wyoming, and they were so generous to share with us. We love it when institutions share with us. Because that's what it's all about. It's all about sharing information and learning. In this collection, there were photographs of the Wild West Show during its heyday, a catalog from Pawneeville's Old Town and Indian Trading Post, and a series of about a dozen letters written from Pawneeville and May to the Ostendorf family. The main recipient of the letters was a woman named Annie Ostendorf, and the way that May writes to her, it's really apparent that they had this close female friendship. So we decided to do a little bit of research on the Ostendorf family, and what we came up with was pretty interesting.
Yeah, no, we're not exactly sure just how Annie Ostendorf met Pawneeville and May. Some of the letters allude to the fact that at one time she might have been a show performer. She probably might have been a trick writer, because May makes reference to the girls all saying hello. This was before 1894, however, because she stopped performing to settle down and raise a family. Her husband, Louis Ostendorf, was a publisher based out of New York City who did some work for Pawneeville during the run of the Wild West shows. Annie was born Anna Paul in 1873 in Chicago, Illinois, and her parents were immigrants from Germany, which made her and her siblings first-generation Americans.
And that was true for her husband, Louis, as well. Louis Henry Ostendorf Jr. was born in April 1854 in New Jersey. His father, Louis Sr., was from Germany, and his mother, who has the best name ever, Mary McWinney, was from Scotland. We aren't sure exactly how or when Louis and Annie met, but on July 12, 1890, they were married in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Almost exactly a year later, on July 22, 1891, they welcomed their son, Robert Wilson Ostendorf, who was always called Robbie. He was born in Manhattan in New York City.
Yeah, so we have these two families that are obviously really good friends, and they're writing letters to one another during this time period. So to set the scene a little bit, we have to go back to what was happening in the 1894 Wild West Show season. Now, we talked about in a previous podcast Pawneeville's ill-fated balloon ride, which took place in Antwerp, Belgium in 1894. And Pawneeville's Wild West Show visited Europe in that season. Now, before the season began, the Lillies found themselves in Philadelphia, which kind of was their little base of operations before they were here in Pawnee. And they were preparing for this big overseas trip. So, the first letter that we see from May was written on February 16th, 1894 in Philadelphia. It was written to Annie Ostendorf, and we learn a little bit about the preparations that were going on behind the scenes for the Wild West Show.
The letter says, "My dear friend, I will now try and answer your welcome letter. I intended to write to you a little while after I got home, but I sent for some photos, and that's what I've been waiting for. I have had an awful cold, am just getting over it. We have been having awful bad weather. It's awful cold today. I would love to get over to see you again. I suppose you heard of us going to Europe. I think it will be an awful nice trip. Mr. Lilly goes to Washington Monday for a few days. I expect to go down to Frederick soon to practice. Well, I am in hopes of seeing you before I go away. Regards to Mr. O from Mr. L and I, your true friend, May. P.S. I send photos with this letter, hoping you will like it. Bye-bye, May.
So it's a pretty hopeful letter to her good friend. May was looking forward to the European shows. She was getting ready to practice, and she was preparing for this international trip, and it seemed like she'd been preparing for a while. But I think it's really interesting that we get to see a little bit of May's almost education in a way through these letters. She has these kind of rough quality to the way that she writes.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see the way that May wrote and the vernacular she wrote in. There's no doubt that she was a very intelligent and business savvy woman. She had a lot of common sense, but the way that she phrases things and the way that she writes and spells kind of tells us that she probably, well, we know she didn't have a formal education. Mm-hmm. In Pawnee Bill's biography, Glenn Shirley writes that May was a graduate of Smith College and her father was a physician, but we've proven that to be false. She probably did attend a regular public school in Philadelphia, but nothing beyond that.
Yeah, there's lots of Quaker schools in Philadelphia, and they like to give education to everyone, so very likely that she probably attended something like that. Now, there's a short letter that was sent to Annie before the Lillys left for Europe. It doesn't have a date on it, but what May talks about kind of puts it in between all the other letters, and it says, "My dear friend, yours to hand." And yours to hand was kind of an old-timey phrase that means that she had received Annie's letter in the mail. "Glad to hear from you and to hear you are all well. We are in the best of health. The steamer Illinois left yesterday morning with part of the show. They had a beautiful day. There were about 75 people and 100 head of stock. We will be over Tuesday sometime after dinner. Mother wants me to stay home as long as I can, but I would have come over sooner. Hoping to see you soon, with regards to Mr. O and yourself, from Mr. Lilly and myself, your true friend, May."
The next letter in the series is written in Antwerp, Belgium on June 3rd, 1894. We see in this letter that May thinks that things aren't all they're cracked up to be in Europe. The letter says, "My dear friend, yours to hand, and was very glad to hear from you and to hear you're feeling better. We are all well at the show and are enjoying ourselves, but I tell you, this place is no America. I do wish I was back, and if I do come back all okay, I promise you I will never come over again. We have been having awful bad weather, raining and so cold, but it's very nice today. Business is not as good as it ought to be. Oh, but I do get some handsome flowers Sunday night. I got a large basket, and Monday I got a large bouquet, and the flowers are handsome over here. I am never without them. Dear me, but these shoes have spoilt me. I can't wear no others, and they're about worn out. I shall soon send over for you to send me another pair over." So, you was to Buffalo Bill's opening. I should love to have been there. That was funny, and little Robbie calling him Pawnee Bill. It would be awful nice if you could come over here. I think the change would do you good. All the girls in camp send their regards to you and Mr. O. With best wishes to you and your hubby for Mr. Lilly and myself, I am your true friend, May. Love to little Robbie from Mr. Lilly and I."
So there's two things in this letter that I love. Number one, she complains about the cold weather, and she grew up in Philadelphia. So yeah. You'd think she'd be used to it by now. And number two, little Robbie went to the Buffalo Bill Wild West show and got to meet Buffalo Bill, but called him Pawnee Bill instead.
Yeah, that happens a lot. Still today, people confuse the two.
So what this letter kind of tells us, and what we can corroborate in the route books, is that the show in Europe was plagued by bad weather and low attendance. Now, it seemed like May was really homesick for America at this time. You know, of course, when she married Pawnee Bill, she'd never been away from home, so this is probably her first big international trip. So, but she really enjoyed the nice Belgian flowers that she was being given during her performances. The next letter is dated October 31st, 1894, so almost 5 months after the last letter. And the letterhead that this is written on shows a big grand hotel known as the Hotel Bellevue, which is in The Hague, Netherlands. The Hague is on the ocean, and the hotel is actually still in existence. It's this beautiful red-roofed Dutch building, and it's really easy to see why May and Bill chose it as their vacation spot.
This letter is the longest of the group at 3 pages, and it reads, "My dear Annie, your ever welcome letter came, and I was as pleased to hear from you, but it was awful sad news to Mr. Lilly and I to hear of Mr. Ostendorf being sick. I do hope and pray he will recover soon. I also hope you're over your trouble. I know it's over by this time. Yes, it's awful the trouble you've had, but we must have trouble before it all comes together. Mr. Lilly and I are in the best of health, and our trip through Holland. We have seen many beautiful sights over here. Oh, it is so much better than Antwerp, and the people are so nice. My only trouble is I can't understand them very well, and I don't seem to learn. It would be nice if you and Mr. O would come over. I might have saved him the spell of sickness, but I do hope your next letter will say he's better and you're all okay with a nice little girl."
So she couldn't speak Dutch, and she was frustrated because she couldn't speak Dutch and she couldn't learn Dutch. You know, you pointed out that she's saying that she could have saved Mr. O from his sickness if he'd only come to Europe.
I love that, that she's like, maybe I could have kept him from being sick. I don't know. What? How?
She seems to have this big vendetta against Antwerp. I wonder if it had to do with the balloon ride. Like, I wonder if that had anything to do with it.
Oh, yeah, she hated Antwerp and everything about Belgium. But she was a proud American.
She was.
We can gather that. So.
And then one of the other big things is that she alludes to Annie having some troubles. And if you paid attention to that last line, she said, "I hope you're okay with a nice little girl." So, surprise, the reason why Annie and Mr. O aren't in Europe is because Annie is pregnant with her second child. It's the first mention of this child in any of the letters, but it becomes very apparent that May is infatuated with this baby. She also talks about plans for the rest of their season. May writes, "We leave tomorrow at 12 o'clock for the south of France. Our first stand is Lyon. We will stay south of France all winter, in Italy and Spain, and then play Sweden and other countries next summer, and come home in the fall. Now, we will do this if we make money in France, but if we don't, we will surely come back to good old America, and nothing would suit me better than to have Gordon say, 'We go to America.' I have enjoyed it over here ever so much, but I would like to come home now. It's so very cold where we are, but we go 500 miles south of here, so I guess it will be warm."
So what we know now that May didn't know then is that things did not go well when they went to France. The Pontyville Wild West Show never made it to Italy, never made it to Spain or Sweden. The attendance at that show in France, at the mini shows in France, was low, and to make back their money, they had to head back to the Netherlands to perform for Queen Wilhelmina, and they were hugely popular in the Netherlands, so they made money while they were there. We don't know what happened with the rest of the show season, but they just could not attract a good crowd.
But can you imagine a 2-year stand in Europe for this Wild West show? It ended up being like, what, half of a year? But they were originally planned for 2 years
over there. A 2-year tour. But it seemed at the time that Pontyville was excited at the next chapter of his show. She goes on to write, "Gordon is going down to the train. They're loading the stock and baggage. He's just wild to go to France. Of course, you know it will be better when we come home. We can advertise of being in all these different countries. You can write to me all along and I'll tell you how we're doing. Then we can come home and we'll surely come and see you."
Now, May's letter turns to talk of little Robbie again. We know that she and Pontyville loved children, and it seemed that Robbie Ostendorf kind of captured her imagination, so maybe she saw something in little Robbie that she really liked. She writes, "So Robbie is riding a bucking horse. He must do it for Pontyville when he comes. Gordon did laugh when I read it to him. I expect he's a big boy by this time. Well, it's time to eat, as I will close with love to you. Best wishes from Mr. Lilly to you. I do hope Mr. O will feel better and you are in good health. Kiss Robbie for us. Your true friend always, May. P.S. Write as soon as you get this address."
And the fact that they have their 3-year-old on a bronc kind of points to the fact that Annie Ostendorf was a trick rider or a horsewoman or something. Even though we don't have records to prove it in our archives, I mean, we don't have a complete cast roster, but I mean, who else but a trick rider puts their 3-year-old on a bronc?
These people are living in the Bronx. There's probably not many people in the Bronx that know how to ride a bronco, so you have to imagine that she had some sort of horse experience.
The last letter in the collection to Annie was addressed from Philadelphia, so they're back home by this point on February 5th, 1895. It reads, Mrs. Ostendorf, my dear friend, I will answer the letter you sent to Mother. I've been expecting a letter from you since I've been home. We got home a week before Christmas and had a nice voyage over. I thought of you while I was in New York. We got in at the wharf at 9 o'clock and we left on the 11:10 train, so, you see, we didn't stay long in New York. I was so anxious to see my mother and all the folks. Gordon and I are in the best of health. I hope you got over your trouble all right and in good health. How is Mr. Ostendorf? I do hope he is well and home. We often speak of you both and wonder how you are. Gordon said Sunday night, May, write Mrs. Ostendorf and see how they all are. I expect Robbie's a big boy. What is the baby? A boy or a girl? And what I really find interesting in reading all these letters is you can really see a difference. And she refers to pregnancy as your trouble.
The trouble.
The trouble. We know how much different.
We know how much trouble she had with her own pregnancy. So, yeah, she does refer to it a lot as the trouble. Now, the letter continues. Gordon is very busy getting the show ready. He is buying horses now. We are going to have a neat show next summer if nothing happens. I think we will open on April the 26th. Gordon is going out west to buy some ponies, for we can't get what we want in this part of the country. Our show closed in Lyon, France, and we sent the Indians home, and Gordon and I stayed in Paris for 8 days, and we had just a lovely time. I think the city is just grand. I would love to go over there and stay in Paris for about 2 months. There is so much to be seen. I tell you, it is a gay town. If Gordon comes over to New York City, I will come over to see you. Have Mr. O write him a long letter, for I will be so glad to hear from you. With kind regards and best wishes for you and Mr. O, for Mr. Lily and myself. Kiss Robbie for me, your true friend, May.
So, was that baby a boy or a girl? We kind of think May wants it to be a girl.
Yeah, she keeps saying it's a little girl.
Is it a girl?
Is it a girl?
Since there are no more letters between the two women that we have, there very well could have been, but we don't know if they're in existence. We had to do some additional research to uncover the answer to that question. So along with these letters, Pawnee Bill wrote several letters to Louis Ostendorf himself, which mostly discuss business matters. Louis was printing biographies and programs for Pawnee Bill to sell while in Europe. There are a few letters dated past 1917 in which Pawnee Bill is talking to another gentleman, though. He refers to the man as my friend and namesake, or friend Ostendorf. While doing some genealogical research on the family, we discovered that Annie had given birth to a little boy. So a little baby brother for Robbie was born on November 17th, 1894.
And that little boy was really special. The Ostendorfs decided to name their son Gordon Lewis Fred Ostendorf in honor of their dear friend Pawnee Bill, which is why he refers to him as my friend and namesake. Mm-hmm. Sadly, though, Annie Ostendorf died fairly young at the age of 43 on May 14th, 1910. Lewis Ostendorf passed away at the age of 68 on January 16th, 1923. Robert, so little Robbie, settled into life as a cashier for various businesses in and around New York. I know he got married and he did have children. Gordon Ostendorf's life, however, started to mirror his dear friend and namesake, though.
That's right. It's really kind of a cool turn of events. There's a very short letter from Pawnee Bill that's dated October 31st, 1917. It reads, Friend Gordon, I was glad to hear you're doing so well. Hope it will continue. Your work was satisfying last year, and if I go out, would like you to have you with me. Best wishes, yours, G.W. Lilly. Gordon Ostendorf, the little baby that May had been so excited about, grew up to be a cowboy, just like Pawnee Bill. He toured with a few shows, and on his World War I draft card, he lists that he's a cowboy, but unemployed at the present.
Yeah, and Pawnee Bill alludes to trying to get a show together at Coney Island. So, you know, they were trying to get these little shows in and around the country. And then I know he tried to do, like, maybe another big tour again.
Pawnee Bill was nothing if he was not optimistic.
Now, the final letter in the Ostendorf collection is one written to Gordon from Pawnee Bill sometime after 1936. It sheds some light on the fact that even though Gordon Ostendorf was approaching 50, he was still out riding with these shows and these rodeos. Pawnee Bill writes, I am now past 75 and have excellent health and enjoy my life about as much as I ever did. In reference to your saddle, I am sorry to say that I don't have an extra second-hand saddle. My last two saddles that I have are ones that I use and Mexican Joe uses, so I wouldn't dare send it away. The only other saddle that I know of in town is at the second-hand store, and it's such an old rattle trap that I couldn't advise you to buy it. However, once in a while, we have a chance to pick up a good secondhand saddle, and if we do, I will let you know.
Wow, it's really interesting just to hear how much the world changed in the 50 years that these letters spanned. In 1894, Pawnee Bill was off buying ponies for his show out in the western United States. And in 1936, there were no secondhand saddles to be had. Nope. It's also really amazing that these two families stayed in touch for so long, for the span of 50 years. Even after Lewis and Annie died, their sons, little Robbie, Robert, and Gordon, shared a special bond with the Lillys that lasted up until the end of their lives.
Now, that concludes our Ostendorf Letters podcast. We just wanted to take this opportunity to read you some of Pawnee Bill and May's letters in their own words, because it shows that they were real people, and it's always fun to peek into people's private correspondence and their private lives and these relationships that they had between one another.
Right. It shows them in a really personal, relaxed way, and it gives us a glimpse of how they would have communicated with their friends. These letters also shed light on a very interesting time in Pawnee Bill and May's lives when they were building a business together and trying to tour Europe. I think it also kind of shows May in a vulnerable way. She was hopeful, but she was also disappointed.
Very homesick.
And very homesick, yeah. So we get to see a different side of May. May has always got a positive spirit in almost everything, but these letters kind of show some cracks in that a little bit. So we hope you've enjoyed the podcast. We're a little late in bringing it to you because we've been busy putting on a Wild West show. And we hope you got to see our show in June. It was June 13th and 14th. If not, it's going to be our new tradition to stage a show on Father's Day weekend every year. So hopefully when our summer settles down a little bit, we're still really busy with groups and some other things going on, we hope to get back into a routine for sure in the fall. But thank you so much for listening and for your support of the Pawnee Bill Ranch. I'm Erin Brown.
And I'm Anna Davis. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next time. The Pawnee Bill Ranch is owned and operated by the Oklahoma Historical Society. For more information, go to www.pawneebillranch.com or find us on Facebook under Pawnee Bill Ranch and Museum.